Heavenly Father, we thank you for your life-giving word. We thank you for the deep and abiding truths that come out in this passage. And we pray, Lord, that as your sheep, tonight that we would hear your voice. That truly as we continue to study John, that we will not only hear your voice, but follow you. We will follow you and be changed. We will hold on to you and declare your light to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes I imagine life as one big infomercial. Sometimes I think that life is, you're just walking through life and everybody's trying to sell something. Everywhere you go, someone's trying to convince you of something, something they think is worth your while. It's almost like life is walking through Blue Route Mall and having salesmen at each entrance you come to. First, perhaps you meet the person who's on the health options. How do you know somebody's banting? They're going to tell you. And then they're going to tell you exactly how to bant. They say banting is the way to a better life. Are you vegan? Vegan is the way that we're going to save the whole world. Or perhaps CrossFit. Again, the same joke. How do you know somebody does CrossFit? They're going to tell you in the first 2 minutes of you meeting them. Oh, I just did CrossFit. It'll come in randomly from nowhere. I think I did it once. Then there's education. Everybody's trying to convince you that you've got to get this particular education if you want to succeed in life. You have to go to this particular school, otherwise you're never going to get anywhere. Now, I'm from Durban, and the school thing's not a big thing, but I think in the first 3 months, I heard this joke about bishops. How do you know somebody goes to bishops? They're going to tell you they go to bishops. Of course, it's not just education and health. It's religion. Each and every religion is saying that they are the way. Christians say we are the way. Islam says they are the way. Hinduism, Buddhism, New Age philosophies. We are the way to true life. Even those who claim that they don't have a religion have a worldview that they want to promote. And so they try and convince us to be liberal or progressive or conservative. And in that way, we will truly understand what real life is about. In essence, as we walk through this life, everybody is trying to offer some sort of way of salvation or life. In fact, it's true that actually everyone is in some way or form searching for the salvation and meaning, searching for the abundant life. It's almost as though we are wired inwardly to do this, which is why when anybody finds something, or at least find something that they think brings life, they want to tell you about it. They want you to enter through that door so that you can experience what they are experiencing in that moment. Well, Jesus this evening tells us that he is the gate to true salvation and abundant life. Jesus says, "I am the gate." Chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus said again, very truly, he's emphasizing. He's saying, listen, I vouch my life on this. I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. Verse 9 again, I am the gate. This is actually the third I am claim of Jesus. Remember when he claimed to be the bread of life? Remember when he claimed to be the light of the world? Now, these are not just nice metaphors to explain what Jesus is trying to tell us. They're actually images that are drawn from the context of the Exodus. And it's directly related to when God met Moses in the burning bush. When God said to him, I am who I am. God was declaring in that moment his sovereignty and his holiness. That he is the only one who will define himself. He is self-defining. He is self-revealing. In actual fact, in Exodus, after that statement, God then begins to unfold the reality of who he is through his miraculous acts of deliverance and redemption and protection and provision. Well, it's no different here in John's gospel. Jesus, remember, says, I am the bread of life, and what does he do? He feeds 5,000. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and what does he do? He opens the eyes of a man born blind. Here, Jesus says, I am the gate. And he's actually leading up to another very significant miracle. In chapter 11, it's the raising of Lazarus from the dead. See, Jesus' claim to be I am make each claim that he makes profoundly significant. And it's no less here, because Jesus is saying, I am God and I am the gate. But what does this claim to the gate mean? Well, for one thing, it's a bit of a strange thing. I'm not sure I would be very flattered by calling myself a door. I'm a door. I'm a gate. It's not very flattering. And neither is the metaphor of sheep, or is it? Sheep are actually dull animals. One of the very few animals species that are unable to direct themselves or find their way around. But we are the sheep. But the overall image that we have here is of a sheep pen. Walls or a fence, perhaps, high enough to keep the sheep in and low enough for someone to jump the wall. Verse 1, as we see, some have climbed in another way. There is a gate, one gate, for the sheep to enter and exit. See, this place is a place of safety from wild animals at night, a place of protection for the sheep. During the day, the shepherd is their protection as they go out to pasture and as they follow his voice. And in this sense, Jesus being the gate is making a statement about who belongs in the sheep pen, and it's those who enter the gate and no other way. Jesus says in verse 1, very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Now this is actually, again, carrying on from chapter 9, Jesus having a bit of a go at the Pharisees. He's actually pointing out the fact that they are illegitimate shepherds. In fact, he's telling them that they don't actually belong to the flock of God, the community of God's true people. It's harsh, but remember that Jesus has already judged them to be blind to the true light, enemies of the light, rejecting him and his purposes. Now, when Jesus claims to be the gate, he's saying something both about the way that the sheep come into God's community and the way leaders of sheep come into the community of God's people. And here is at the heart of what Jesus is claiming tonight. Jesus is making an exclusive claim about entering God's kingdom. An exclusive claim. He is the only way. Jesus says, I am the only gate. See, the entrance here is singular. It's not one of many gates. It's the gate. There are no other ways into the sheep pen. Any other claims to be ways in are illegitimate. In verse 8, he says, all others who have come before me are thieves and robbers. They do not belong, having not entered through the gate, and neither do they know the way. That's part of the reason why they can't claim to be true shepherds. The Pharisees have not entered through the correct way, and neither do they know the correct way. Here is Jesus directly challenging them. You know neither God nor the way to God. Jesus is telling them that they are not the gatekeepers. They are not the only ones, the ones who know the way to God. But of course, Jesus' challenge in this passage is not only to Jewish leaders and the Jewish faith. It is, in fact, a challenge to all other ways to God. It's a challenge to all other claims and ways to God. Of course, Jesus' exclusive claim is frowned upon in our day and age. We live in a multicultural society with diversity of religious views which are all to be respected. And rightly so. We must respect all religions. People are offended by the claims of exclusivity because the moment we say Jesus is the only way, they know that the implication is that their way does not lead to God. And of course, that's going to be offensive, isn't it? But it's the truth. And instead of being offended by this claim of Jesus, we are to take it seriously. We are to consider it. Because we do live in a world of truth. If Jesus is truth, and Jesus is claiming to be the only way to God, then that is the reality. It doesn't matter what other reality you want to believe in. At the end of the day, it's either Jesus is right or everyone else is wrong. Jesus is exclusively claiming to be the way. He says it again in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, when Jesus says, I am the gate, he is not presenting to us an alternative entrance among others in this world. He's the only entrance. He's the only way. Entrance to what? Well, salvation. Look at verse 9. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Well, what does Jesus think we need to be saved from? Well, in the immediate context, it's from the thief, the one who claims to know the way or be the way. Why do we need salvation from the thieves and the robbers? Well, verse 10, they come only to steal and kill and destroy. Remember how the Pharisees treated the blind man in the passage before this? Harshly, excommunicating him out of community. You see, the thieves only come to steal, kill, and destroy. It's another hard-hitting claim by Jesus. The other ways, claims to true salvation and life, only lead to destruction. Every other way that claims to be the true way to God and life will only lead to destruction. Of course, the big problem is not so much the false leaders and their ways, it's that their ways lead to death because they don't have the solution to death. But Jesus does, and he's just about to demonstrate it in John 11 when he raises Lazarus from the dead. See, the salvation Jesus is talking about is ultimately from death. You see why his is an exclusive claim? Because nobody else has ever claimed to defeat death or raise somebody from the dead. But of course, there's so much to this, more to this gospel reality that Jesus is claiming, isn't it? Because the salvation Jesus is offering is not just from death, but from sin and Satan. It's from being under the wrath of God. He is claiming to save us from the clutches of Satan, who is the ultimate thief, the one who has come to deceive and lead us off the path to righteousness. And he's coming to rescue us and save us from hell, an eternity separated from God and under his wrath. You see, the kind of salvation that Jesus is offering, that he brings, is only a salvation that God can save us from. Only the true God can save us from this destruction. But Jesus does not only just save us from something, he's actually telling us in this passage that he's saving us to something. He's saving us to the abundant life. Verse 9, the sheep will come in and they will find pasture. Again, the sheep metaphor is not so great. I don't want to really eat grass. Perhaps one of the false prophets in South Africa were thinking of this passage when he got the people to eat grass. We're not going to eat grass. We're going to come in and find pasture and life to its fullness. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. See, the abundant life in John's gospel is life as it's meant to be with God, in relationship with him, knowing God and being known, having God's spirit and presence, being fed by God, protected by God. The abundant life is having hope in God for the future where we will be in his perfect presence, where there will be no more thieves to destroy and kill. There will be no more pain and suffering and brokenness. See, in contrast to the thieves, Jesus has come to give, to bring life, and to build up. Have you ever dreamed of that perfect life? Do you ever long for that life where there will be no more sin, no more inner turmoil, where our desire to have true life and abundance will come to fulfillment? No turmoil in relationships. No complicated family or frustrating work. good relationships, good work, good life in God's presence. Well, realistically, the only one who can give these things is the one who created life himself, God. See, Jesus' claim to be the only way to God only makes sense because he himself is God. He is not a hired hand. He is the one that knows the way. See, Jesus is not just some salesman looking after something on behalf of what he's offering. He's not standing outside a shop trying to sell you something. He is actually God himself who's come to show you the way, and it's himself. He's the one who owns everything and can legitimately give what he has promised. In fact, Jesus backs up this radical claim to be the only way with a radical act. See, because he didn't just stop here by making this amazing statement, he does what's needed in order to fulfill it. And he sacrificed his own life. That's why a little earlier on I said when Jesus says very truly, he's actually staking his life on it. This is God himself saying, very truly I tell you, I am the way. Jesus paid his life for our sin, that we can be reconciled to God, so that we can enter the presence of a holy God. It's his death and resurrection that conquered death and defeated Satan. See, it's in this work of Jesus that his claim to be the gate is understood. And it's what separates him from every other claim to be a way to God. See, the truth is, every other claim to abundant life, every other claim to be the way to God, comes at a cost for us. But Jesus, he paid the cost. Every other way that claims to have life tells us first to keep the rules, to do these five spiritual acts, to make an idol, to live and eat this way, to do and say the right things, and then you can enter and truly have life. But Jesus says, I've done it. Enter in. I've done it. Enter in. Friends, have you come into the pasture of God? Have you entered through the gate? See, Jesus doesn't just offer some big idea. He died for it to bring us into the presence of God. And in this passage, he's saying, come. Come and enter in. He says, if you hear my voice, as his sheep will do, then follow him. Friends, do you hear the voice of Jesus? Perhaps this evening you have a problem with some of his exclusive claims. Maybe you're even offended by Jesus' exclusivity and his condemnation of other ways. Well, friends, that's okay, because Jesus can handle those questions. Don't let them keep you from coming to Jesus, the truth, and entering that gate. Come to him for life, and he will teach you the rest. He will show you why he is the only way, the truth, and the life. Because he is the only one who can forgive your sin. He is the only one who can truly reconcile us to the living God and give us eternal life. Friends, if you've never come to him, come, because the way is open to abundant life. For us as Christians who do hold to him and his exclusive claims, we must hold on to these claims. You see, the church in the West is hurtling towards an identity crisis because it's watering down Jesus' exclusive claims. And when you begin to tone down Jesus' claims, who he is and what he did becomes indistinct from the rest of the ways offered. If Jesus is not the only way, then his death was a mockery, friends. Why did he die if we could just as easily do five trips to special places? Why did he die if I can just keep a small set of rules easily made by man? We have to hold to these claims as God's people. To let go of Jesus and his exclusive claims is to let go of Jesus. To let go of Jesus' exclusive claims is to let go of Jesus. Or perhaps it's to not even have known Jesus at all. See, if we don't hold to Jesus' claim, then we no longer have anything to offer the world. Because if Jesus is just another way, well, then he's just another way. And we have nothing to say to people. Because they can just as well go to another religion. They can just as well find another ideology to follow. But we do have an exclusive claim. In fact, holding on to Jesus' exclusive claim gives us confidence to go to people and to tell them Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You want life in abundance? Well, Jesus offers it freely. See, hold on because our hope rests on his claim. Hold on because our hope rests on his claim. See, Jesus is given an exclusive claim that opens the door to eternity with God. And as we stand on that, we have the assurance that we are part of the sheep of God. Let's pray.